Have your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 9. Believing God to touch and minister to us today. Amen. Isn't that awesome? God is a great God. God is a great God. Finally. Amen. I was wondering if some of y'all went back to sleep or something. Now, there's two ways we can do this. The Hispanics start around 1:30. Y'all want to be out of here before they show up, you're going to have to help me. Because if I got to run down there, amen myself, and run back up here, it's going to take me to 1:30 to get. Just so y'all know, I got an 8-point outline. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh with no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay out of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house, move on us, Lord, with the power of your divine grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you just give the Lord another hand clap of praise? I think it's amazing how God can work things in our lives to make them work for like he wants. This past Tuesday night, I took a trip down to Pickens County to the Palmetto community to a camp meeting I've preached several times. It's just an old-fashioned camp meeting, and I've had people say, why in the world do you go there? Because it just reminds me of the old days. I mean, they got an outside tabernacle, no air, plenty of bugs, sawdust and dirt. Amen. Heat. They got plenty of heating, especially since it's in July every year. But this camp meeting has been going on every year since 1856. Amen. I've had the privilege to be the speaker, one of the speakers in that camp meeting. And I went the other night. Brother Darren rode down with me. He's from Pickens County, or lived there at one time, and he knew some folks at the camp meeting. Amen. And I got there, and we walked in, and we run into some folks I knew, and we sat down in what they call tents, which is just a little cabin with no floors. That's why they call them tents. Most of them got dirt floors. But they stay in them during the week during that camp meeting. No hair. Just go and enjoy yourself. Amen. And so we're sitting there talking to these folks, and all of a sudden I hear a voice. The guy turns the corner. He said, The man I've been looking for. And a friend of mine who's a Methodist pastor, he's in Red Bay now, comes walking in. We talk a little while. We go down to the camp meeting. We get there. Church is over. And we walk out back, and one of the presidents walks up to us and said, I've been looking for both of y'all. It's amazing, but I wanted to talk to both of y'all. We want you to do the camp meeting next year. And it just so happened we were both there at the same night to be asked at the same time. And the truth of the matter is we enjoy working together because he's as crazy as I am. He's just Methodist. Glory. He preached a message one night about a dead goat. They ain't never forgot it. Glory. Amen. But the reality is God is able to do those kind of things. Now, church, understand what I read to you today. We read about a man who's blind, but he had an appointment with destiny. The sermon this morning is called Losing Your Destiny by Playing the Blame Game. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'll never forget when I first started preaching, I was a little naive. I thought everybody in church had Bible knowledge, was mature Christians, especially them been around a while. Why are y'all quiet? Because after I've been in church a while, I found out that in a few weeks, I bypassed some of them folks that had been there for 20 years in Bible knowledge. And I know some of y'all going to come to me after, I've been reading Bible all my life. I've actually misquoted scripture to some of y'all on purpose, and you didn't catch it. Glory. I remember one person in this church, I actually told him it was found in second parentheses. And they said, oh, yeah. There is no second parentheses. Lord, I did it on purpose. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people in church have never gone any farther than they were when they first got saved. And the problem we have in the church is we got a world outside dying and going to hell that's looking for somebody that knows a God that can change their life. And for that reason, we need to grow in Him. But when you talk to somebody why they're not growing, they've always got somebody that caused them to be where they are. And that's called blaming folks. Church, you don't have to worry about somebody blaming you. The Bible said the devil's the accuser of the brethren. So every day the devil's going to try to find something wrong with every one of us and put it up in the eyes of somebody so they'll know. Come on, church, smile. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Oh, right down the road. I've never known to be a popular preacher. I just preach. Glory. Hello? Listen. Get ready to play the game. You're driving down the road 100 miles an hour. On a road, the speed limit's 45. You lose control of the car in a curve, and you wreck. Whose fault is it? Why, it's the DOT. They didn't bank that curve good enough so your car wouldn't flip. Hello? Ah, come on, preacher. We're driving down the highway at 75 in a 55-mile zone. The cop stops you. Writes you a ticket, and you're sitting there mad because he wrote you a ticket for going 20 miles over the speed limit when he could have let you go with a warning and been a nice guy about it. And it's his fault you got to pay that money. Hello? Stop at McDonald's to get breakfast, and you start down the road eating your Egg McMuffin and drinking your coffee, and you drop the coffee in your lap, and you burn yourself, and it's McDonald's fault because they made the coffee hot. Somebody said, now, preacher, that's crazy. No, there's actually a lawsuit won over something just that stupid. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm trying to tell you that every time something goes wrong in our life, we're very quick to come up with a reason why it happened and try to make a reason why we're where we are, and that's called the blame game. And some of you are living under so much pressure because everything wrong in your life, you got somebody you blame for, and because you're holding it against them, God's not able to bless you because you got grudges a mile long, and today is a day you need to shut that game off and make up your mind. I'm letting go of everything in my past because I've got a God who is able to carry me beyond anything going on in my life. The Bible tells us Jesus and the disciples are coming out of the synagogue. Everything's going great. And all of a sudden they come up on a guy that's blind. You know, church, sometimes you need to understand some things are bad enough. You don't have to know who caused it. You just need to be healed. Hello? We got folks that got things in their life they need to let go of. I mean, let's face it. I don't care what your first husband or first wife did to you. It's time to get over it. Come on, church. Oh, I lost some people on that one, but it's the truth. Some of you walk around talking about, I wouldn't be like this, but the doctor did it. Well, hey, you might be like that the same reason this guy's like he was. Had nothing to do with anybody else. It was just a God that put him there for his own reasoning to make a miracle out of him. And some of you need to wake up and realize what's going on in my life is not a problem I can't overcome. It could be a staging for God to do something in my life, to lift me up, to set me upright, and to bless me. Y'all been around here since I showed up. If you had a life like I had as a pastor, would you want to keep pastoring? I broke my arm. I've had cancerous tumor took out of my head. I've had stents put in my heart. I blew a knee out. I mean, I had a hole in my mouth. God had to heal. I've had all kind of problems hitting me, and y'all get upset because I snap and say, I can't wait till next year. Hey, I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because I know in whom I have believed, and I know in who I trust, and I really don't care what's happening today, tomorrow, the next day. I'm not blaming anybody because I'm where I am. I know God put me here, and whatever happens, God's not going to get me out of here till he's through. Could you? Glory. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to take it easy this morning. Doctor's orders. Don't. The doctor told me not to get excited. Glory.
I had one doctor told me I couldn't come to church because he's afraid I'd preach. This at least let me come. He just told me, "Be take it easy." So I am. I'm not going to lose it. I never forget one of the first accidents I ever ran up on. I'd never seen nothing like that. I'd been in a few, but I wasn't awake while it was going on or over. But I run up to this accident, and I run up to this dude, and I said, "You need me to call the cops?" He said, "No, call an ambulance." That made sense. When you're hurting bad enough, you don't care who caused it. You don't care about finding out how it's going to work out. All you need is somebody that's got a problem-solving ability to come help you with the problem you got in your life. And it's time some of us woke up and realized it doesn't matter why you're broke. It doesn't matter why you're where you are or who caused it. All that matters is you need to come in contact with a God this morning who has the ability to remove those things from your life and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Now notice this, they see the blind man and all of a sudden they have a conversation about him as if he's not even there. Have you ever had people talk about you and you're not included in the conversation? Huh? And they dumb enough to think that you're sitting there listening and don't know what they're talking about. I mean, the guy's blind but he ain't deaf. And they're sitting there going, "Jesus." They're going to be theological about it. Why is he blind? Did his mother and daddy sin or did he sin? Hello? Well, somebody had to do something wrong for him to be here. You know, we got people, something goes wrong in people's lives, and they immediately start trying to figure out who did something wrong. Kurtz, do you realize good things can happen to good people, but bad things can happen to good people? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get in the fire because they'd done something wrong. They got in the fire because they were doing something right. Daniel didn't get in the lion's den because he messed up. He got in the lion's den because he was doing everything right. But can I tell you, they came out of the fire and they came out of the den because they didn't sell out what they were holding on to, because they understood my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I could ever ask or think. So instead of worrying about why I'm where I'm at, what I got to do is understand my God is still the God that can pick me up, set my feet upright, give me joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And if I serve him, my God can turn my life around. Ah, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'll never forget when the doctor told Frida she had breast cancer. I lost it. I left that office mad. Not at the doctor. I knew he had nothing to do with it. He just told us what he found out. I was mad at God. I figure I've been serving him for 31 years. Hey, church, if you really sell out to God, it ain't always going to be easy. My wife will tell you, there were a lot of mornings she woke me up with my head on a desk because I was working on sermons the night before when I came in from preaching, but I had to be at work at 7 o'clock. She'd wake me up and I'd throw on my clothes, go drive nails all day long, go back and preach that night, come in that night and do it all over again. And all those years of doing that and sacrificing and giving up, and now God has the audacity to let something happen in my family, and I'm upset. And I'm mad, and I'm crying. I'm worse than a church member. Wah, 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 wah. Like a baby with a diaper needs changing. Lord. Don't look at me like that. I was a church member for 35 years, not just like all y'all. I'd go to the preacher. Wah, wah, wah. I have to apologize to a couple of my pastors. Glory. Man, I did. I whined God to death for 2 weeks. I went down to the river one day, and I was skimming rocks across the water, and I was pretending he was the water, and if that had been God, I'd stoned him. Glory. And I know some of y'all, preacher, well, he knows I was mad, so they ain't no need me trying to hide it from him. I'm in an airplane headed to Hawaii, 50,000 feet above the ground. I was so high, I looked down at the Rocky Mountains, and it looked like little humps. I'm in the back of the plane drinking coffee because everybody else is asleep. And I forget, I walked into the galley and asked the lady, said, "Can I sit back and drink coffee?" She said, "Sure, but strap that strap on, because last week we come through and I hit the ceiling." because you hit air pockets and the plane drops and you go up because you don't go down with a plane until you get up to the top and hit and then you bounce down. And I really didn't want to do that, so I'm sitting back there and there's a little door back there and I'm looking at this little hole in the door. And I'm back there drinking coffee, and I'm back into the why game. Ain't nobody around, so I'm, God, why, God, why? And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, it is not why, but how. It is not why you where you at, but how are you going to deal with it? You're going to keep whining and crying? Are you going to begin to trust God like you tell everybody else to do and just let go and let God do something? Can I tell you, from that day forward, I quit crying and I quit whining and I quit trying to place the blame on somebody for us being where we are, and I begin to realize my God is able to do all things in my life. Could you say amen to that? We need to understand. They looked up and said, well, their mom and dad messed up. That's why he's blind. Aren't you glad we aren't blind because our mom and dad wasn't right? Huh? Smile. Some of y'all sitting there like, well, bless God. No, you'd be just as blind as everybody else in this building. None of us could see if our parents' sins was what made us blind. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because everybody's messed up before they found Christ. Listen. He's not blind because his parents. Why is he blind? Possible reasons. Number one, the pagans of that day actually believed in reincarnation. And they believed that he was blind because of something he did in the other life. Hello? We got people in this world believing reincarnation. They may be one of you sitting here. I'll ask you the question I've asked everybody else dumb enough to believe that. If in the 50s and 60s we had a certain number of people in the world and we're just recycling souls, why is there now 2 to 3 times as many people in the world if we're just recycling souls? And you got to realize some of them come back over in India as animals. Huh? So we're losing instead of gaining, but yet we got more people. So something's wrong with your theory. Hello? The Indians, when they killed Custer, actually poked his ears and eyes out so he'd be blind and deaf in the afterlife. And we got people that believe that. They believe you die, come back in another life. Honey, I am not going to believe in reincarnation. I've been through this world once. I don't want to go through another time. I don't care what it is I come back at. I'm going out, going to be a saint and live eternity in a place of joy and peace. And oh, come on, church. But the pagans believed in reincarnation. The Jews never would accept that. Then there was the argument of heredity. The Lord had told Israel in Exodus 20 and 5, in the iniquity of the fathers, I will visit on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So the Jews actually believed that if somebody done something wrong, God would bring it out on their kids. Just keep it passing it down through generations. And you know what, church? I have read and studied, and I know that there's some of these educated preachers said there's no such thing as generational curses. But if you read your Bible, there was things that went through families, and it got there somehow, whether it's a generational curse or what. Abraham lied. Isaac lied. By the time they got to Jacob, they just called him a liar. Hello? And that passed on to his boys, well, but one of them truthful, and that was Joseph. The rest of them lied like dogs. Well, preacher, you know, that's really not something we need to discuss. I want to tell you something. We need to understand there are some things we can set in motion in our families, whether it be a curse or just some demonic spirit that finds a way to work in our families. Have you ever noticed that alcoholism runs through families? Drug addiction runs through families. It's because not just the environment they're raised in, but there's a demon that says, I'm going to get involved in this. Divorce runs in families because a demon gets involved, whether you want to call it a generational curse or what. But it's time some of us woke up, looked at our life and said, wait a minute, just because it happened to the family don't mean it's got to go any farther. I've got a God who can pull me out, set me up right, put me on the right way and change my life. And I'm selling out to him. And from this day forward, everything's going to be different. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. I'm a fifth generation preacher. I'm the first one that wasn't Methodist, so I just changed the whole thing. Glory. My dad backslid, left the Methodist church. I'm the only one in my family born in Tuscaloosa. Matter of fact, I remember one of my family born in the hospital. The rest of them was born at home with a midwife. I was actually born in DCH, where Alex works. Probably room ain't there no more, but has been a while. But the reality is, all my predecessors messed up. They left church. They never went back. And I'll never forget the night God called me to preach. He said, "You will do something your father couldn't do." Never understood that till the night of my first sermon. And my dad came to me and said, "Don't worry about it, son. The day you were born, God said you would take my place and do something I couldn't do." You know what I did? I almost left here. I nearly left the ministry. I left to go preach my aunt's funeral in Gadsden with a letter of resignation in my pocket, my license wrapped around it. And I told Frieda, when I come back, I won't be a preacher. I won't preach another sermon. I won't do this anymore. I'm through. I'm out of here. Amen. I had won my daddy back to the Lord, which nobody else had done, but I had give up myself at about the same time every one of them did. And I left to go preach that funeral. And at that funeral, my aunt handed me my Bible. It was a Bible of my family. It had in the front of it the list of those preachers and every one of them that had backslid and left God at the same age I was at that moment. And God spoke to me and said, "You're just following a trail that has been there, but it's time to turn it around." I pulled the letter out. I burned it on the side of the road, put my license back on the wall, and I'm still here because I realized somebody's got to turn this thing around. And it's time some of you woke up and realized just because it happened in the past doesn't mean it's got to happen now. My God is God right now, and he's God in the future. There was an explanation that sin of Adam and Eve had passed on and caused everyone of humanity to just fall apart. Glory. Finally, the Jews actually believed that a child could sin while it was in the womb. Church, can I tell you, some things just happen. It ain't because there was a purpose. It just happened. We need to understand that. But listen, there's a lot of times people hurt you. People do you wrong. They might not even realize they did it. But the truth of the matter is, you need to get over it. I had a guy one time told me he was holding a grudge on somebody. He said, "Bless God, I ain't never going to forgive him." I said, "You know what? He's snoring over yonder while you laying awake not thinking about all that you hate him for." Glory. Because when you hold a grudge, you ain't hurting nobody but yourself. Especially if they don't know about it. They're going, every time you see them, want to shoot them. Glory. Oh, it got real quiet. I noticed some serious looks when I said that. Do you realize if someone else is to blame for what's going on in your life, they're the only ones that can fix it? Because you can't fix something you didn't do. So therefore, if you give them the power to be the one that caused the problem in your life, then you give them to have the only power that can fix it. And that's a lot of power. Come on, church. I had somebody tell me, said, "Well, bless God, he's going to stop you from preaching." Ain't nobody big enough to stop me from preaching. Only person to stop me from preaching is me. As long as I sell out to God, do what God wants me to do, there ain't a person in this world can stop me from being a preacher. Amen. State overseer could take my license, but he can't stop me from being a preacher. He could put me out of this church, but that's not going to change the fact that I'm going to find somewhere, and if I'm sold out to God, God's going to give me a pulpit and a congregation or somebody that's going to listen to me. You say, "Preacher, that's not true. You're talking to a man that spent 35 years with no known income, no known place to be, but he preached almost every week of his life. Why? Because I had a God that opened doors, and that same God is still in charge of my life, and I'm not backing down, and I'm not giving up, and I'm not giving somebody the reason to believe they got control over my life. The only person who controls me is a God in heaven who can move and minister and touch." David said, deal with it this way. Psalms 37:1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither like the green herb." But he said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." If I let go of yesterday, I can have a tomorrow. But as long as I hold on to yesterday, I'm never going past today. Hello? I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody in this building. You've been hanging on to yesterday so bad you can't have a tomorrow. You keep letting everything that used to be hold you back from what God wants you to have. This man has been blind all of his life. He's never known what it was to see, never known what it was to be able to do the things everybody else done. But you know what? He had an attitude that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. Come on, church. Amen. We choose the attitudes we have in this world. You could choose to be defeated, or you can choose to be a winner, even when you're losing. Huh? The 1967 New York Mets were the laughing stock of a National Baseball League. Lost 108 or 10 ball games. They had gloves on for no reason. Bats in their hands for no reason. They brought basically the same team back, except they traded away a rookie they thought wasn't really going to be that good by the name of Nolan Ryan. Those of you who don't know who that is, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest pitchers ever, but they thought that 105-mile fastball just wasn't going to make it in the National League. They traded him to the Cincinnati Reds and dumped him to somebody else. They brought in this little shortstop. Burroughs was his name, I believe. He gets out there in the winter or spring practice, and he's working, and he's running, and he's killing himself, and he's diving for balls and telling everybody, we can do this, we can do this. 1968, with a change of one player in the field and an entire attitude change, New York Mets won a World Series. Why? Because they changed the attitude. They quit trying to figure out who was the reason and what was wrong with them. It wasn't a coach from high school didn't teach them something. It wasn't the coach they had is the same coach. It wasn't the organization that made them losers. It was their attitude and the way their outlook on life was. And when they changed all of that, they become world champions. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? There's people under the sound of my voice. And I listen, I've got a whole sermon here. I'm just on point one. And you need to hear the rest of it because it gets better. But the idea is God's put a break on this because there are people under the sound of my voice right now that you need to deal with some things in your life. You've been blaming everybody for what put you where you are, and it's time for you to wake up and realize you're there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not anybody's problem. What you've got to do is make up your mind. I know a God who can. I know a God who can come along and make me not be blind anymore. I know a God that can heal my problems. I know a God that can solve my depression. I know a God that can give me joy in the morning and joy at night and a song to sing when I can't sing because He's God, He's on the throne, and it's time some of us woke up and realized it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, who is standing in the need of prayer, who is ready to reach out and touch God and let God loose in my life. And if we do that, I've got a God who is able to take you beyond anything you ever thought you could go in. It's time to realize it is nobody's fault but mine. I am the only one that can close the door between me and God, shut the Bible to never read it, quit praying. But if I do those things, I've got a God who will pick me up in the midnight hour and set me up right with His joy, His peace, His power, and His... Stand with me all over the house. Losing your destiny. Satan loves people who kill their own destiny because they're too busy hanging on to something they ought to have done let go of. God's talking to somebody in this building this morning. Say, preacher, you don't understand. All I know is God is passing by. And when God passes by, there's answers to your problems. When God passes by, He could pick you up where nobody else can.
Jesus. Church, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up. And I know people hurt you. I had someone I was very close to one time destroy me. And I heard it was going on and couldn't believe it. But I had a choice. I could let that destroy me, or I could put it behind me. And I made up my mind it wasn't worth it. And I let it go. And I believe there's somebody under the sound of my voice today, God's saying to you, it's time to let it go. It's time for you to open up. Just let God begin to pour into you a love and a freshness that you've not known in a long time. God has opened up his heart to you right now. And just as he looked on that blind man with compassion, he's brought you here today to speak to you a word that only you can hear to set you free of the bondage of hurt that you have in your life. I had no idea this sermon would go where it's going, but it's headed and I'm following it. Because I believe there's some people under the sound of my voice right now that you have really allowed some things to mess you up inside. Pains and hurts and heartaches from the past that have literally blinded you just like this man was blind. But God is speaking to you this morning. And he's saying, if you'll come, I can heal the brokenhearted. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. God's talking to you right now. While the Spirit of God's moving, would you head to this altar and let God move in your life? Let him touch you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, touch hearts and lives under the sound of my voice. Move, God, with your presence. Move with your glory. Touch with your anointing. God, as only you can. Lord, have your way.